Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Really, Riley?
Are you ready?
This is the Really Riley Podcast. Woo!
Hello, beloved. Happy Thursday. Damn, this week went fast, and I am not mad at it because it's been a very, really productive one. In so many good ways, I swear to you that solar eclipse, letting go, and practicing the art of detachment is working out for me, friends. But it made me think of a few things because in the last few months, I have been going through it with my ADHD and lack of motivation and some anxiety, some depression. You know, for a very long time, at least in my professional career, I don't want to say I was able to coast because 20 years in radio and moving all over the country to chase this dream and this dragon of this, you know, radio career, there was no coasting there, you know, picking up with a 13-month-old and moving from Atlanta to DC, knowing nobody. I won't exactly call that putting my feet up and coasting, but I knew what I was doing in my career. I went to work every day. I was really freaking good at what I did, you know. I knew that I had to be on the air. I knew that I had to be on. I knew that I had to produce commercials and blogs and appearances. And so it's not like it was easy, but it was my career and I built it and I was proud of what I was doing. And it's not that I'm not proud of what I'm doing now in podcasting, but essentially, even though I've been doing this podcast for nearly 7 years, it's new-ish. Like selling a podcast and like learning all the things about downloads and what these new terminology means. You know, it's funny because I'll say like certain radio terms like, oh, you know, Adobe Audition or like spots and whatever. Like there's certain things and like, oh, the board or like turn the pot down. And people are like, what the flip is that? So now I'm learning about all these new different avenues and what like certain impressions, all the stuff, right? And I enjoy a challenge. I mean, I started my Crystal Intention candle business, House of W, literally just out of a passion and an idea and not really, you know, knowing how to do that in terms of a small business and promote it and go to pop-ups and, you know, create these logos and all this stuff. It's like I just kind of jumped in. So I'm good at that. But when you have to do it and do that in a way to feed your family, to, you know, be the other breadwinner of the family, like, you know, both my husband and I contribute equally, and you lose a six-figure salary that you worked your ass off for, unjustly, if I have my own opinion here that I can insert, it messes with your mind. And my ADHD has really been on an all-time high the last couple of months, even more so when I first got fired, because I feel like a lot of things that like the first year, it's like shell shock. And then the second year, like when I'm not even there yet, like a year and a half, I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, this is an actual real like thing. This is the new normal. And I think that my nervous system wasn't ready to adjust to all that yet. So my ADHD was just rearing its ugly head. And I've had a lot of you guys ask me about how I got diagnosed with ADHD. You know, how did I know? What were the symptoms? Because a lot of times, especially in my generation, if you will, you know, I'm a millennial, ADHD was like a school issue. It was like you couldn't pay attention in school. You couldn't sit still. But it's oh so much more than that. And my ADHD sometimes manifests in what's, I don't know if this is an actual medical term, but it's something that I saw that was like resonating with me in a big way. It's called ADHD paralysis. And I am not a doctor, friends. I'm just giving you the information that resonated with me. I wanted to like totally say that. I always say like, you know, I only like to speak about things from my personal perspective. So don't like be like, oh, Riley diagnosed me on her podcast. No, don't cancel me. So what is ADHD paralysis? I pulled some, you know, little factoids, and I say factoids because it's not like, you know, quoted by anybody of note, but it makes sense to me. ADHD related paralysis occurs when a person feels overwhelmed by their surroundings due to the amount of information they receive, preventing them from thinking or functioning normally. This is one of the biggest kickers of me and my ADHD friend because, for example, like we were doing taxes the other day, my husband and I literally went into like this toddler type overwhelmed tear filled like mood. I was literally like crying, and it reminded me of when I was little and my stepfather was trying to teach me math problems. I don't do math at all. And he was just like not understanding why I couldn't get it. And it's just like, you're going to sit here. He was sat here for hours. And I remember like curling my hair around my fingers obsessively. And that's something that I do now when I have anxiety. So, you know, it's interesting that that's something that pops up into my head right now. But I just could not retain that information. And when I was trying to, you know, total things up and figure out where this came from and where that came from and expenses and a new business and, you know, like all the things, I would literally just wanted to cry. And I was so paralyzed by that feeling of being overwhelmed with information. And sometimes that'll even happen to me with trying to like even get directions from something. Like I always have to have a GPS. Even if you tell me and I know where it is, if I'm tired, the GPS is my best friend. So paralysis manifests in different ways in each individual, but commonly is associated with these symptoms is overthinking, overanalyzing. That is me. I used to blame it on being Latina and a Virgo, but hey, overthinking about problems. That's me. Inability to prioritize. I don't know that I have that as much, but for me, that inability to prioritize, like if I have something that I need to get done, but there's multiple things I need to get done, I have problems going, okay, this is the most important, da 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 da. Like I always get it done, but it seems like I'm stressed out in the process because I'm not like, okay, we need to do this and a lot this time for this. Like my husband's always like, oh, just write a list. And I'm like, ugh, like even that overwhelms me. And sometimes I do, but I never go back to it, you know, indecision. I don't really have indecision. That's not one that hits me, but anxiety, duh. Low self-esteem, in terms of like a sometimes like inwardly, like not from like a body image or I think I'm a good person, I think I'm a talented human, but like low self-esteem and like career things sometimes, like who am I? Am I still worth what I used to be worth when I was on terrestrial radio? Like, you know, that might be the workings of some people I used to work with, but whatever, we're working on it. And task avoidance, that one always. You know how long I've been waiting on the taxes? Like, ugh, if there's laundry to do, I will do everything and anything. Like literally there could be like a makeup drawer that has been needed to clean out for a year. And then if there's a pile of laundry sitting there and I don't want to do it, all of a sudden I have to do that other task right now just to make sure that I don't have to do the task that's in my head overwhelming me. Even though laundry is an everyday thing. I know how to do it. I know where my clothes go. They're color coded with nice hangers, you know? So it's interesting to read this stuff. So effects of ADHD paralysis on the person, mental freezing. This one's big with me. It'll just be like where I really just cannot even soak up any more information, that I'm just done. It's just kind of like when, I always equate it to my three-year-old because I think that like learning about how his brain works and then relearning about how my brain works, it's like just when they've hit their cap and they're so tired, they're so hungry, they haven't had a nap and their mind is just a mush of like a tornado. That mental freeze, it just sort of feels like that, but you're not upset. Like I will need to go into a store, get groceries, get things that I need for something that's important. And sometimes I will just like sit there in the car. Or if I'm on the couch and I know I have to get up and do something, but I just am overwhelmed by it, I will just literally just sit there. And it's embarrassing sometimes for me because I'm a little miss we got this and I'm so sure of myself. And then some people are like, oh, you have it so put together. And I'm like, no, I don't. Challenges in completing tasks, even urgent ones. So urgent ones, not for me. Once it's urgent, I'll get it done because I have to. tasks, though, in general, like little things, taking things in from my car. I have shoes in there from a damn panel that I spoke on like two months ago. I know I need to bring it in. I don't need it right now, but I know I should bring it in, but I just don't. Until I need those shoes, then I will walk my happy ass barefoot out to the car and go get them. Or like, if I'm feeling super inspired and I'm, you know, making some vessels for my candles and I'm so excited about the design and I can't wait to see it. Now, these are not orders, by the way. These are ones that I just create for me or create to see how the vessel comes out. But if it's not an easy one to do, like if I have to, you know, seal it a certain way, or it's always one that gives me troubles, like I'll want to leave it in the mold for a few, which actually works better for the coloring anyway, but like I'll just be so overwhelmed that I just will leave it there. But then like 3 days later, it's like, okay, it has to be done now because I don't want to do laundry. It says, for this reason, ADHD paralysis makes it difficult for the individual to concentrate and complete essential tasks in everyday life. I ebb and flow with that. Like, I guess you could say I have high functioning ADHD paralysis or something. ADHD paralysis can be divided into three distinct types, corresponding to specific areas of executive function affected by ADHD symptoms. So there's mental paralysis, affects the ability to quiet your mind, resulting in a shutdown due to overstimulation. Oof, that hits. Activity paralysis makes it difficult to start or finish tasks. And then choice paralysis has to do with decision making, specifically the inability to do so. Ay, ay, ay. The brain is a fun thing, friends. So a lot of times people with ADHD are either called procrastinators or lazy, you know, like, my sister's kind of like this. People used to always say like, oh, she's always late, or, oh, she like, you know, is never on time with deadlines or whatever. But like when you get Erica in a pinch, she's just there and she gets it done. And she does. I'm kind of less like that. But I, like in school, when I was writing papers and I was in like AP English and, you know, reading, writing, communication, I was always like 90 percentile. Like I was very, very, very smart in that. And if I had to write a paper over the, you know, course of a month, I wouldn't do that. I would wait till the last 3 days and always get an A on it, though. So it doesn't make me lazy, or it doesn't make me a procrastination. Maybe it doesn't make me stupid. It just means that my brain functions differently when overwhelmed than other people. The difference between paralysis and procrastination, we've all procrastinated at one point or another, putting off tasks when we're tired or demotivated. ADHD paralysis, on the other hand, shuts down and freezes the person, and this response is typically out of their control. Like, this is the part that almost makes me want to cry, because growing up, my parents did not deal with therapy. They didn't like delve into the why of what's happening with their kids. It was just like, you were a brat, or you were wrong, or you were just being disobedient. It wasn't like a reason. And what's interesting to me is, like, you know, the older I get and the more I kind of like self-examine my mom, it's like, yeah, you have it too. And I think it's hereditary. I'm not sure, but it's more common to be hereditary than not. And it's just like her inability to sit still. She has to clean everything all the time. Or, you know, you'll be talking to her and she'll be like scrolling through her cell phone. And I'm like, excuse me, hello. Like, I only see you like 3 times a year. Can you focus here? And she literally, like, she has to put her hands down and like almost sit on her hands to focus. Or when you're having a conversation with her, and I do this sometimes too. I've been a little better at it because I've had 20 years of being on a show where I had to kind of like ebb and flow with the conversation. Like, she'll interrupt you right in the middle of like the point of your sentence, or you can see the words forming in her mouth. Even though her mouth is closed and she's somewhat listening, you can see her almost like practicing the words of what she wants to say. And it just comes across as like very rude, but it's not. It's like the way that the mind works. But my mom is so proud that she would never go to therapy. She would never like admit that there's an issue. She just expects everybody to kind of like deal with it around her. But tips for dealing with symptoms. And these are, I mean, they're okay. Try simplification of activities. What the hell does that even mean? I mean, I guess it sort of means that, like, okay, if you Well, my therapist said this once. If you have something that's completely overwhelming you, just say to yourself or write down or plan out whatever it is, I'm going to do this thing for X amount of minutes. Mine is always 10 because I can do anything for 10 minutes. And then after that, if it's too overwhelming, I'm going to stop. For me, it's like the same thing at the gym. I'll be like, I'm just going to go and I'm going to do this many exercises and get out. Usually once I'm in it, I'll go a little bit further because I'm an overachiever like that. Use of reminders and alarms. This is big with me in my phone because my husband's like, oh, you should get like a planner. I don't know, because I will not have the attention span to go write it down, to remember to put it in my car, to remember to write the things down. So I have implemented where I put it in my phone and then I add an alarm to it, but not just the day of, not just at the time of. I add three. I will add one that's 2 days before. So if I have something I have to move and I'm like, oh shit, I have this important thing, I need to move this around, I have a little bit of a buffer, then I will add one, sometimes one day before, depending on like how non-frequent that event is. And then I will add another one 1 hour before if it's like I have to really hit the oh shit button and move stuff around. But I also went further than that I don't have my calendar just there as a tiny icon and have it as like a big icon that lets me know what's coming up in the next few days or the week. Focus daily routines. That's difficult for me. That was the hardest part, is that when I was in terrestrial radio, I got up at the ass crack of dawn, but I knew what time I was getting up. I knew when I had to leave to get to work. I knew, you know, what each break was going to be most of the time on the radio. You know, I knew what time my kids went to nap. I knew when I could get a nap. I knew when I had to get up. I had a gym schedule. You know, these are the days I could, like, I had it all there. And now I don't. I mean, and I love what I have accomplished so far in podcasting, and that it's only been technically a year since my relaunch. You know, like, yes, it's been around for 7 years, but under my own steam, I'm not so mad at the progress and the, you know, the milestones that I've made. But it is difficult because there's no set schedule. Especially not when you have a 3-year-old and an 8-year-old that has his own little soccer schedule and he wants to have a little personal life with his damn play dates. I'm like, kid, you gotta give me a break right now. The next one is ask for therapeutic psychological support. That's big, honestly. When I first got diagnosed with ADHD, like, talk therapy for me, I have a great therapist now, but talk therapist for me didn't always work because I know how to talk. I know how to communicate. I didn't need someone to draw those feelings out of me. I'm very in tune with, you know, why I do the things that I do, you know, like trauma response, or, you know, am I tired? Am I overstimulated? Is it my anxiety? I know these things. So talk therapy was difficult for me to get in a groove to. But in terms of ADHD, when that first came around, it felt so damn enlightening to finally understand the why of why I do these things. I'm not lazy. I'm not an idiot. I'm not just, you know, blah or stubborn. There's something different in the way that my brain ticks than, I don't want to say normal, because who the fuck is that? Quote unquote normal, whatever. And then they say, try mindfulness exercises. So that doesn't help me in the way of, you know, getting stuff done, but it does help me in the way of like getting out of feeling anxious, because I'll get overwhelmed, not want to do the task. Then I'll get overwhelmed because I didn't want to do the task and I just sat there for 10 minutes in my car and, you know, in that mind paralysis freeze and I feel stupid and then it's just a whole blah, 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 blah. That is really good to have a mindfulness moment. I need to bring those back on TikTok, by the way. Mindfulness minutes. Excuse me. Just to stop the, you know, screaming in your head. To just quiet it down for a second. And all of these things seem very elementary at first. You're like, okay, what's that going to do? But when you actually implement them and put them into practice, it's like in the gym. You know, the tiniest little movement or correction in your form can be all the difference of whether or not you're going to get that peach that you want for summer. So I wanted to share a little something with you, because so many people ask me more about, like, how was I diagnosed? What did they ask? What did they do? Because I also think there's a lot of, like, doctors nowadays that aren't that thorough with their patients. And they'll say, yeah, you probably just have ADHD and give it to you. Honestly, that's happened to me before. Not with ADHD, but with, like, depression and other things. I had a doctor tell me I had fibromyalgia once upon a time. Way back in the day when that disease was first being diagnosed. And it was not that. because then 10 years later, or not 10, but like 5 years later, when I went to a doctor, I was like, yeah, I have, you know, fibromyalgia. And he's like, no. And he actually did the tests to say, but I didn't know. I was listening to a doctor. Having said that, I am no doctor. I will say it again. I am no doctor. But this is a scale, an ADHD self-report scale that my therapist gave me that helped me to get diagnosed. So I'm going to read a little bit of it to you. It says, please answer questions below, rating yourself on each of the criteria shown using the scale on the right to the side of the page. As you answer each question, place an X in the box that best describes how you felt and conducted yourself over the past 6 months. Please give this completed checklist to your healthcare professional and discuss during today's appointment. This was 12/20/21. Damn, it's been 3 years. So the first one says, how often do you have trouble wrapping up the final details of a project once the challenging parts have been done? And I said sometimes. Now it's more like often. But granted, this was pre-Malin running around like a madman. You know, he was born, but he wasn't really all that mobile yet. How often do you have difficulty getting things in order when you have to do a task that requires organization? And I said very often. It's like, I'm not organized in any way, shape, or form. Like, you should see my workshop down there. When I'm putting together orders, it's not like I have like these cute little bins. Like, when you see it like packaged on TikTok, that's not me. Do I package it nicely? Yeah. But the floor of my workshop is a fucking mess. When you have a task that requires a lot of thought, how often you avoid or delay getting it started? I said very often. How often do you fidget, squirm with your hands or feet when you have to sit down for a long time? I said often. That's usually me with my hair twisting it. It's like an anxiety thing too. How often do you feel overly active and compelled to do things like you were driven by a motor? I said often. And at night, like when I should be chilling. How often do you make careless mistakes that you have to work on? Oh, when you have to work on boring or difficult projects? I said often. That was me in school. Like, if I wasn't into something, or if I didn't, I used to say, if I didn't respect a teacher, I couldn't learn from them. It's like, if I liked the teacher, not like that, shut up. Or like, I just thought I jived with their vibe. I mean, I could get an A in their class, even if it was a subject that I didn't like. But if I didn't like them and I didn't like the subject, forget about it. How often do you have difficulty concentrating on what people say to you when they are speaking directly to you? This is me. I said often. A lot. I don't know how I made it so far in radio. Because I love radio and I was interested in it. But if there's people there like saying stuff to me that I just don't care about, I will do, you know, my best to pay attention. But in my head, I'm off on the beach. How often do you misplace or have difficulty finding things at home or at work? All the damn time. I said very often. Like I said, I say this all the time. That so badly that my husband literally said in our wedding vows, I'll find your phone when you need it. How often are you distracted by activity or noise around you? Often. Now, especially. Like, with my sons, I'm pretty good about it. But if I'm trying to concentrate on something and somebody is, like, clicking their pen like that. Oh, my God. I had a host that did that. Ugh. I'm like, stop. And he had ADHD too. Or if I'm trying to watch a show and my husband's next to me, I will not do the mouth noise because I have that, what is it, mesothelioma? I'm not saying that right, but whatever, that disease where it like enrages you to hear chewing noises. Even Lyric, I feel bad, but he knows now that if I'm trying to like either say something or do something and there's just like little noises, or he'll be like rubbing a toy together or something, I'm just like, stop. And he knows that I'm not being mean. He now knows what that means, unfortunately, because I said it in front of a therapist once and he was like, oh, that's what that is. How often do you leave your seat in meetings or other situations which you're expected to remain seated? I said, I never do that. I might be fidgeting in my head, but I don't get up. How often do you feel restless or fidgety? I said, very often. How often do you have difficulty unwinding and relaxing when you have time to yourself? Very fucking often. How often do you find yourself talking too much when you're in social situations? I said, sometimes. Because of the fact that I entertain for a living, I don't necessarily want to be like the center focal conversation. However, if I wasn't in the industry that I'm in, it would probably be a lot worse. When you're in conversation, how often do you find yourself finishing the sentence of people you're talking to before they can finish themselves? I said that like sometimes.
again, radio trained me not to do that. But like in real life, if it's not in a business sense, sometimes I will like finish their sentence, but I'll do it in a way of like, oh yeah, like it's funny or cute, but I'm really just like, okay, I'm finishing your sentence in my head. And I don't mean to be rude. It's not that I'm not interested. It's just the way my brain ticks sometimes. How often do you have difficulty waiting your turn in situations where taking turns required? I said, not like rarely. I don't, you know, I'll wait my turn. That's okay. How often do you interrupt others when they're busy? I said, sometimes. My husband would say differently. When he's busy at work and I'm in one of these ADHD little fits, it's like, I want it now. And I love you. I love you, babe. Thank you for being such an angel, because it's not fun dealing with something like this that's considered a disability, but not really. I don't want to be overdramatic and be poor me, but it is something that hinders so many. And because it's not, you know, I don't want to say it's not terrible, because there is some, a lot of things, but you know, it's not, you know, detrimental to your health in the way of like live or die, if that's the scale we're looking at here. So that, you know, I hate that saying, things could be worse, because my mom used to always say that to me anytime I had a problem. But it is difficult, and I like to talk about stuff like that to make you guys feel a little bit less lonely. So like, I really hope, you know, you got a little something out of that, and you can kind of, if you've been thinking about getting diagnosed for, you know, whatever it is that's been bugging you, that you can go do the research, arm yourself, speak to a doctor, and please, for the love of all that is holy, do not go back over that list and show it to people and be like, oh, I've got it. Riley got diagnosed off of this list, so I've got it too. Don't do that, please. I'm sure there was a lot of other factors that my counselor and my therapist like put together and was like, yeah, this is probably it, because there's a lot of other symptoms that hit me as well. And those things on that list, that's the problem with a lot of diagnosis, that diagnoses, I don't know, happen today, is like so many things mimic other things, you know, anxiety, depression, you know, is it a sleep disorder that I always want to sleep? No, like you're depressed, that kind of thing. So there's a lot of different factors. So just don't do what I used to do back in the day, is go on WebMD or end up hearing this list on Really Riley podcast. I'm like, oh my God, I have ADHD. Don't do that, please. I also have like an anxiety one, like, but maybe I'll get into that in a different podcast, or maybe I will send that to the We Got This Army if they are interested. Side note, if you are not part of the We Got This Army, what are you doing? It's like $7 a month. You can do that and sign up for it at reallyradleypodcast.com. Just scroll down a little bit. It says become part of the We Got This Army. Because there's some perks. You get little goodies, little welcome presents to say, hey, how do you do? Thank you for signing up. And it supports the podcast, but also it's like this week when I released the vision board event details, We Got This Army got it first. They also got a discount of like $35 off of the ticket price. And when it's a limited seated situation, We Got This Army gets first dibs on those. So speaking of said vision board event, I'm so excited. This might be one of the only ones that I do this year, because like I said, I don't want to get burnt out and then not enjoy my family. I mean, listen, I'm a worker bee, but it does, for somebody that just talked about ADHD, it does require a lot of preparation. And I speak from my heart always when I do these events, and I love connecting with you guys. But, you know, being that open in terms of an empath can be difficult to be, you know, like that open and that honest, and that like there's a release afterwards, but then you feel exhausted. I don't know. Maybe I'm being dramatic, but I would sign up, or I would go get your tickets if you want to experience one of these, because I do leave there though also feeling so inspired and just like, yeah, I did something that means something today. And it's always great to see you guys. And I always put together little goodie bags for you guys to go home with. I always like to have little munchies. I've partnered with Beauty Boost Baltimore, so some of her subscribers are going to come out, as well as that. And this winery is so beautiful. Y'all know my aesthetic, and I love its historic. It's so picturesque. It's quaint. It's cozy. Oh, so, so cute. And this time I don't drink wine, but that doesn't mean you can't. We have wine flights available for purchase too. So you can get a little drinky drink. It's right before Mother's Day. So you can, you know, do that for Mother's Day for your special somebody, or treat yourself, manifest the life you want, friends. Side note, a lot of people are asking like, oh, is it just for women? No, it's not. I actually have one of my We Got This Army couples coming out. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So it's going to be great. And I really hope to see you there because it's one of my favorite things to do to inspire you guys. So definitely check that out at reallyrileypodcast@gmail.com or on my socials at Riley Couture at, I forgot my other Instagram for a second, Jiminy Christmas. Hello, ADHD. At Really Riley Podcast, at House of W by Riley. And I will chat with you guys tomorrow. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this. And don't be forgetting to check out the YouTubes because I'm a one-woman show over here, but I'm putting up the long-form videos of these podcasts as quickly as I can. Love you guys longest. Thank you so much for listening. And I will chat with you mañana. It's Really Riley.